We'll go ahead and call the Common Council meeting to order. It is March 4th at 7 p.m. Please stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Weigold.
Here.
Warwick.
Here.
Romine.
Here.
Enrod.
Here.
Simpson.
Here.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting, last Tuesday on February 25th. Were there any changes or corrections that needed to take place? I think I did. Did you get that change I gave you, Rosie?
Yes.
Okay. Just a change under Youth Council. Hannah is spelled with an H. But that was minor. Okay. Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
Make a motion. We approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Motion by Ben, seconded by Nicole. Ladies' choice. Yeah. Further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Nicole and Ben and Dan voted yes. Jackie and Bill abstain. Okay, next up is, let's see, I don't think I have them here. So we're going to go to passages. Jason Myers here. And is that microphone on? Yes, it is. Super. So, Jason, I will turn the floor over to you.
Awesome. Would you like me to use a microphone? Or?
You can just leave it there, okay. I think. It's okay. Just more for recording purposes than anything else.
Perfect, perfect. Well, thank you, everyone, for letting me speak here tonight. I think I met most everyone in the room. If not, I wanted to do a quick introduction of myself. I'm Jason Meyer, obviously. I'm the new president of Passages. I started with the organization in September of this past year. So, been with us. And spent about 5 weeks with Tom O'Neill, our previous CEO, prior to coming on, and got to meet a lot of people during that time frame, and got to a lot of neat things that we've actually done with Passages. But a little bit of background on myself: I spent the last 8 years prior to Passages with Pathfinder Services in Huntington, and I have a wife, Leah. I've been married 10 years, and she works at Parkview North up in Fort Wayne. I have an 8-year-old son, Logan, and 6 and 3-year-old daughters, Taylor and Allie. So when I'm not at work, I'm kept quite busy at the home front. So, but I distributed information to you on Passages. The first sheet that I handed out, we moved in late September to our new Creative Learning Center, which is located in the old Lindbergh Medical Office building. We did a remodel to that facility, and it's about 18,000 square feet altogether in two floors, and we redid our day programming there. So I did a summary of what our revised day programming is for our individuals we serve at Passages. The biggest change is they are smaller classroom type settings. If many of you have toured probably our old Tower View Industries building, and those were larger classroom, those are larger settings. And the biggest change is these are smaller classroom type settings. Usually one direct support professional to about 6 to 8 clients, just depending on the different class. We have one-on-one art classes, and we also have larger art classes, as I've listed there. Those are usually one teacher to 6 or one teacher to 8 people. We rotate the classes on an hourly basis, too. So we have any given day, we have some individuals that are there half a day, Tuesday, Thursday, some all day, every day, and some individuals are kind of split up between day programming part of the day, community employment another part of the day. The overall refocus of the Creative Learning Center is really focused on those key components I listed there: academics, computer training, healthy lifestyles, hobbies and recreation, life skills, music, and senior programming. Pathways to Employment is pretty neat because it not only focuses on employment in our Creative Learning Center, but employment out in the community as well. We have employees currently. I know we just had a new hire at Pizza Hut and at Bob Evans, and it can, or at, I always say that because it's a combined area over there, but Taco Bell as well. We also have additional community employment in the community. Volunteering's huge. It's a huge focus of this program. When we started the program research in 2011, we really sat down with all of the individuals we serve, their parents, their guardians, and asked what a meaningful day means to them. And that's this ever-evolving program is right out of that. So it's really cool to watch this evolve. In November, we had a meeting with our client advocacy group called the Navigators. They meet monthly and talked about some new program we wanted to add. We're going to add jewelry classes to this. We're going to add a lot of neat things, so stay tuned on that. Be happy to bring you around for a tour. I know Mayor Daniel, you've been through the facility on the tour. Anyone else interested in coming through on a tour, please get a hold of me. Be happy to take you through. It's really a neat concept. The next pages, I'm not going to go through everything, but just wanted to kind of give you an overview here. We employ about 170 employees in Whitley County when we're fully staffed. We're about a $5.5 million budget, or million-dollar organization, $4 million of which is payroll. So just to give you an idea there. We have three group homes here in Whitley County serving 24 individuals, and those are 24-hour-day, 7-day-a-week, fully staffed homes. And our waiver sites, some are non-24-hour, some are 24-hour. We have 12 locations here in the county, and 46 individuals serve there. Waiver homes are usually smaller. They have 2 to 4 residents per home usually, whereas our group homes are 8 resident homes, so that's the difference there. And then our Creative Learning Center has 70 individuals we serve too.
Jason, where are your three group homes?
We have one at Eagle Glen out there, and one on Hannah Street and one on Weston Drive.
Okay.
So, and then the Hannah Street group home is right on the outside of our Whitley Meadows, which is through Whitley Crossings Neighborhood Corporation. That's the other handout I have here, where we have 21 apartments at Whitley Meadows. We have 22 units out at Heritage Homes, which is located out by Kroger. And then we have the Clugston as well. So, and then Tammy Nicholson is our housing manager as well. And she's not here for Whitley Crossings tonight, but I figured I'd reference her since she's in the audience. So Tammy does a great job. Any questions for me? I just wanted to provide an overview. I know I hadn't spoken with the council since I've been on board. I know I've spoken with many of you one-on-one, but just not as a collective whole.
So. Right. Any questions? Thank you, Jason.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate your time tonight.
No problem.
Thank you.
And appreciate you being willing to reschedule with us to get to tonight. Okay, next up is tree board update. Ken is in the audience, and I get kind of some updates here and there about what's going on with the tree board, obviously, from Martha, but excited to hear what Ken has to say.
So. 2 years ago tonight I was golfing, so I thought I'd wear a golf shirt. I don't know if that's going to help move the weather up or not, but we'll have to see how this works out. Trying to get over a cold, I thought maybe I'd get by this winter without one, but I didn't realize winter was going to be 6 months long.
Right.
So,
amen.
But see what happens on it. But on behalf of the tree board, I'd like to express my appreciation for the opportunity to bring to you a brief overview of the board's involvement with maintaining the urban forestry of Columbia City. The tree board is responsible at this time for the maintaining and care of approximately 2,518 trees. There are also another 1,400 planting sites for future trees, so we're talking roughly a total of about 4,000 trees that we could be responsible for if everything was planted. At this time, however, we're only able to keep up with replacing trees that have been removed. That means that our tree count has stayed pretty steady, so we're right around that 2,500 trees. And we're talking street trees, not the total canopy of Columbia City. The top 10 species of street trees in Columbia City are the silver sugar, Norway, and red maples, the Colorado spruce, the green ash, flowering crab, tulip, honey locust, and the collary pear. These 10 species account for roughly 73% of the urban canopy here in Columbia City. The goal is not to have a single species make up more than 10% of the tree population. Right now, the silver maple makes up 24%, and of the population, and the sugar maple makes up 13%. The eight others fall within the category of 10% or less. Also, no genera tree should make up more than 20% of the population. The general maple grouping accounts for 47% of the population. As you can see, the overplanting of maples in the 60s continues to be a major focus of our attention. This year, we'll remove 33 trees. 50% of them are going to be maples. A variety of trees are being planted when we replace those removed, and we will continue to limit the planting of any maple trees in the near future. In 2013, we developed a system that would give us more systematic approach to controlling and monitoring of our urban forest. We divided the city into four quadrants, with Van Buren and 9 being the intersecting line. An arborist from Davie Resources has now become an integral part of this new approach. The first area of the city to be inspected by the arborist was the northwest area. We felt that this section contained a large amount of trees, and as it turns out, that is true. So we had to divide the northwest quadrant into another one, which will now give us 5 for the city. A level 2 assessment was conducted in this area, producing the following: 503 street trees, 230 planting sites were observed. From this list, removing and pruning the problem trees were prioritized. A level 2 assessment consists of a 360-degree visual inspection of a tree, looking for defects in the roots, trunk, and branches. In other words, the arborist walks the entire quadrant inspecting trees and the sites for new ones. The rest of the city is then driven and given a level 1 inspection, which consists of looking for specific problems, such as obvious trunk or canopy defects. This is sometimes also referred to as a windshield check. If a concern is observed, then an assessment 2 is performed. Citizen concerns fall into the level 1 category because we already know the problem or the concern when we go out and look at the tree. Once the level 2 has been completed, that area will fall into a level 1 for the next 5 to 7 years. The following year, we'll proceed to the next quadrant and begin this process all over again. We made a couple operational changes in 2013. The first one was trees being removed, pruned, new ones being planted, plus planting sites and stumps to be removed. All were entered into an Excel sheet. Remember, we are talking about the possibility of 4,000 items we're trying to keep track of. We have arranged for the arborist to control the input of items into the inventory. With that large of a program, it made it more sense to have one person entering the data. Martha and I still have access to that Excel report. Second thing we did, we had 19 citizen concerns in 2013. Those concerns are now handled as such. Martha sends an email to me with an inquiry or problem from the citizen. I check the situation out, make a judgment call as to the severity of the problem. As a backup now, I now take pictures at the scene, and we have a pictorial backup of the visit to show that I was actually out there. These pictures are used in our monthly meetings to further acquire the input from other board members. The 35 trees that were planted from the 2012 budget looked like they all survived. Weather played a key role last year in that just about the time we needed rain, we got rain, so that helped. There are 33 trees earmarked for removal and 50 trees for pruning. The cost of pruning was such that we were not able to award any planting of trees for 2013. We had only one quote to work from the pruning. We are still feeling the effects of Emerald Ashborn. What I mean by that now is that there is so much work out there, it's very hard to get people to even try to bid on jobs now because they're tied up with Fort Wayne and those areas. So we had one bid, and we took the one bid. This year we'll be working on preparing for tree grants so that when they become available, we'll be in a position to apply. This is one area that continues to elude us because of the constraints that are beyond our control at this time. I would be remiss if I did not mention how grateful we are to have an electric department like the one we have in Columbia City. The cutting down of trees is a very important aspect of the program, and the tree board has embarked on. A new blade for the stump grinder and some grass seed are just a token of our appreciation for what you do for helping maintain and improve the urban canopy of Columbia City. I would like to thank Martha Akers for again working very hard to make sure our yearly tree board information is sent in so that we may retain our Tree City USA recognition. This will be our 20th year for this honor if everything goes well. Her involvement and oversight on the tree board is very much appreciated and needed. Last but not least, I would like to extend my sincere appreciation to tree board members Nicholas Stiles, Nadine Lamley, Gloria Banker, Candace Yeagle, Janice Daniel, and Michael Malcolm for their support and involvement during the year. Thank you. Are there any questions?
Questions?
No, I guess mine's just more of a comment. How much we appreciate how you approach this issue, because it's obviously a necessity that is kind of overlooked by a lot of people, I'm afraid, that without that, we'd have numerous situations occur in our city with injuries to cars, damage to who knows what else that could occur because of your work and the work of our utility department. You know, it's been minimized, and you hear of other towns and other communities losing power and losing from storm damage, and you don't really hear that around here, because I think it's because of all the work you guys do and the work of our utility department. I really, really want to say thanks for that type of approach.
That's what we kind of use as our scorecard. It's just after a storm, I always get in the car and start riding around, you start looking. And we commented the other night there that it looked like we got through the winter pretty good. I don't remember any real major things at all as far as trees going yet. So
only 3 months left to go.
Only 3 months left to go. Anything else?
Yeah. Is there a beetle coming down the pike that affects maples?
Well, yeah, yes and no. The longhorn beetle, yeah, that could be the next problem. Everything, it hasn't gotten as far yet, and it's quite a ways away yet. We still got the emerald ash borer is still a problem. We're thinking, well, maybe if we had a real bad winter like we had this year, that might defer some of it. But it's still around, and it's still a problem. But the next one is coming. It was brought in on a pallet from China, is where it came in. That's where the emerald ash borer also came in, on pallets from overseas.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate your report. Okay. Keith and Tammy, are you guys here just to kind of watch?
Yeah.
You sure you don't want to say anything?
Yeah.
Okay. Thought I'd at least give you an opportunity. Okay. Thomas.
Who's the guy sitting there? Department report?
Yes.
things are going very well for our department. Currently, so I have nothing to report this evening, sir.
Okay, good. In the process of hiring firefighter?
We are. We did interviews. I'm sorry. We did interviews yesterday. We have forwarded a list of candidates to the Board of Works. Those announcements have not probably hit the candidates yet, so I won't announce those three that are going to be sent to the Board of Works. But I think we have narrowed it down to three individuals that the Board of Works will be interviewing next. I think we've got a tentative date set for the end of this month for the Board of Works. So,
okay.
Or one of two dates, I should say.
Okay. I got to assume that you worked it out with Martha.
So. I have not. I think Beth is in the process.
Oh, Beth is working. That. Okay. I'm sure it's on there. Okay. Questions of Tom? Thank you, Tom. Sean?
Well, our two newest employees are at a kind of a beginning electricity learning basics electricity class today. They went down to Greenfield. They learned quite a bit, they said, so it was worth their time. One of the free classes they offer down there. Since last Tuesday, I think, let's see, we pushed some more snow once again. Did our parking lots and stuff, not as much as the street department, obviously, but other than that, nothing new going on. Terry's fiber project is kind of delayed. Right now we're waiting for our Spectrum Engineering to get back to us. The head engineer is looking over the engineering process right now and just double checking everything. It should be this week. Should hear something. Excited to move forward with that, hopefully. And then the 25th, we'll have our final presentation or for our skid loader project. We've been working on replacing the skid loader the last month and a half, but once we get our final bids in this week, we'll be making that recommendation next on the 25th, because mm-hmm. I'll be out on the next meeting. That's it.
Questions of Sean? Thank you, Sean. Terry?
Well, completed conversion over to Office 2010 for most of the city computers, so that's finished up, and we're hoping that in the next couple of weeks we'll have Dispatch 3 remodeled. There should be in here in 2-3 weeks to install the furniture in that location, so we're looking forward to having that done. That's all I have tonight.
Questions of Terry? Thank you, Terry. Kelly?
We were in Sunday again. Another weekend, about 6 hours we worked on that snow event. Today we cleaned up the trucks and fixed some things and get them ready for another round. I guess we got some more possibly coming, so we'll get through it eventually here. Continuing on keeping the potholes patched and keeping catch basins cleaned off, and when we finally do get a meltdown, that we'll have things ready to receive the water. So last week Corey and I were down in Indy to the convention center, had a sewer seminar, equipment and classes going on. Attended some classes and had Brad Smith came down to set through some classes with us, and we were looking at some software module from our Granite, Esri Granite, and looking at maybe purchasing that in the future to help with our televising, the way we get it onto the server. So that's something we're going to try to continue to look at. And, other than that, we got an NDOT meeting Thursday. I think Jeff and I and Mike and Mark are going over there about the bridge construction back at the back of the park and how it's going to affect things that are taking place back there. Talked to the NDOT and probably the contractors. And, met with Advanced Disposal today on the annual pickup. Rosie and I and Martha and the mayor were in there, and Corey also. This will be their first time for the annual wide pickup, and we just kind of want to get on the same page and discuss how that's going to work. So, that's it.
Okay. Questions of Kelly?
I was just a comment saying thanks for how fast you got some potholes fixed. I know my sister lost a couple tires, and by the time she had them put on, and after she called in, she drove back by, and here you guys already had her filled up. So really appreciate how quick you got after that, because that was a...
It's really tough when it's raining to get any material to hold in there. I mean, it just comes out soon as, you know, it has to be dry for it to stay, but you got to do what you got to do to try to, you know, fill them, so... It's tough when it's raining and you're trying to get them filled.
When you got 10,000 cars a day driving over that same area, it doesn't take long to pop it out.
So how are the roads holding up, the city roads?
Good. I mean, the ones that really the potholes pop or coming up on are ones that we have targeted anyway for paving contracts. And it just reassures us that those are the ones that we never need to really look at anyway. And we're just trying to extend the life of them as long as we can. A crack seal really helps hold them together. A lot of times where the paver comes together, there's a seam, and a lot of times that's where the unraveling starts to take place. But usually crack seal, you know, helps that extend the life of the road, and I think we've got what we can out of them, so it's probably time for an overlay. But I think overall, you know, when conditions are dry like this, we keep up on them. We're in pretty good shape. But when things start to fall again and we get more rain, I'm sure they're going to start up again. So we'll stay up on them as much as we can.
Other questions of Kelly? Thank you, Kelly. Marcia?
Nothing there.
Can I see you after council, by the way? Thanks. Rosie?
I don't have.
Okay. Jackie?
Nothing.
I do have one thing. At the last council meeting, you guys had asked me to get with Umbaugh and to look at the numbers and to do some cost models. Their response back was, do you want them to take a look at, kind of do an update of the actual fiscal analysis that was a part of that plan, or do you want them to use that current fiscal analysis with your rate structures you were asking about? Does that make sense? Because there was a rate structure they suggested, and behind that was all of the fiscal review of all the documentation and all the information about, you know, salaries and yada, yada, yada. That's a part of that. So they were asking, are you wanting to do a full fiscal analysis again with the new numbers a year later, basically, Or do you want them to keep those same numbers and look at your rate suggestions and run those three scenarios? The difference in time, just so for your information, they probably can turn around the information about 3 weeks if you just do the scenarios. If you want to do a bigger fiscal analysis to kind of update those, the overall numbers, you're looking at 30 to 45 days.
How much cost difference?
My guess would be, and I don't know that specific number, but I can probably tell you if they're going to redo the fiscal analysis, it's probably going to add a couple thousand dollars. So.
Well, if we were going to make the decision based on what we had before, then I think we could just use the same numbers, but
with the updated scenarios.
Yeah.
Is what I hear you saying.
Yeah.
I don't think there's that much variance in.
Okay. I was trying to think about that, Ben, and Rosie, the only thing I could think of that would have been a big variance would have been sludge hauling.
But we have that about every year.
Yeah, I just didn't know if it was more last year than the previous year.
The only thing that might have changed a little bit would be the wages, because mm-hmm. we've tried to switch some of them.
Mm-hmm.
But all in all, I agree. I think if you use the current or the previous, it's not going to be off that much.
That the scenario. So is that?
Like I say, if we can save a couple $1,000s,
yeah.
I don't see we need to spend that.
And that's fine. But I did tell Jeff Rao from Umbaugh that I would come to you guys and make sure that I knew exactly which route. So is that a unanimous? That's what we should do?
Mm-hmm.
No? Okay. Okay, very good. Thank you for that. As a reminder, the whole reason we moved council to this week is because Sean and I will be going to Washington, D.C. for the IMPA, or Indiana Municipal Power Agency, and APPA, which is the American Public Power Association, basically fly-in where we talk with our senators and representatives about keeping power low cost, keeping an eye on emission controls, and having the understanding that the higher those go, the more our prices go up, and so on and so forth. So that's something we'll be doing that week. We'll be leaving on Sunday morning and getting back either late Wednesday or Thursday sometime. So it just depends on how we decide to go. So, but I will be available by cell phone or email, so Dan doesn't have to be mayor. At least this time.
A lot of people are grateful.
So, yeah. I'll also mention that the next 2 days in the afternoon, the Board of Works and I will be having interviews with seven different individuals who were interviewing for the water superintendent position. As I mentioned earlier, Mike Deere, our water superintendent, is retiring. And so with that being the case, we did an application-type process. We have seven individuals we will be interviewing over the next 2 days. So just wanted to give you an update in that process. I know for the park, they're doing baseball and softball sign up. They're about 50 off from last year, but they still have one more week or weekend
just
left.
Just softball. I think baseball's done, if I remember right.
I think Mark had reported at Park Board last night that there was one more week of baseball. Well, there's another week of soft. I know, but I thought he had said that the baseball numbers were off, that there was additional time they were going to do for last minute registration for baseball. Okay, so maybe that's what I was thinking. So, but that's what they're up to their ears in. Mike Cook sent you his report. Mike Deere sent you his report. Tim, if you've not taken a second to look at the outside, outside these doors, if you look at the new wall of fame. It's pretty neat. They've done a really good job, and they've kind of maneuvered some things so that the detectives and the shift sergeants are in the same room, which is that first room right off the stairs. And they've done some different things with the conference room to make it more training available and such. So they've been doing a lot of work up here upstairs for the police department. I do have to tell a very quick story. Today, Tim and Tony and Terry, three of you, were over at Best Buy to get a monitor so they can show their presentations and stuff like that in the training room. And long story short, Tony has a way of being attracted to crime for some reason. When he's around, crime finds him. And And so as they were over at Best Buy, from what I understand, as Tim told me, he had went, I don't know if he went to the restroom or something, but as he came back, Tony was gone. And he asked Terry where Tony was. Well, I guess there was a shoplifting that happened at Best Buy in Fort Wayne. And I guess Tony had heard the cries for help, chased the guy down, got him onto the ground. Fort Wayne police came and helped. So doesn't matter where we go. Tony finds crime. So,
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Correction, it wasn't a shoplifting, it was a robbery.
It was a robbery, I'm sorry, thank you.
It was a robbery.
It was an actual, it was a slap, what?
Snatch and grab.
A snatch and grab, okay. Thank you.
And he tackled a guy inside of Kohl's.
Oh, yes. Yeah, he ran from Best Buy around the corner to Kohl's, got into the Kohl's, and went down to the ground, from what I understand. So, okay. So just
it's
a very...
interesting, because he pulled his gun out on the guy.
Ooh.
And the guy stood up from behind the clothes and dropped the bags he had, and so Tony said... told him to get on the ground, he wouldn't do it. So he went to put his gun away because he knew he was probably going to get into a fight with him. And as soon as it clicked into his holster, the guy took off running.
Oh, I didn't hear that part of the story.
So then he chased him down and tackled him in the clothes.
Were you guys videoing it? Were you videoing it?
Wish we would have. That would be good. Also, for your information, I will be in a legislative committee meeting on Friday in Indy. As an update for some of the bills, the business personal property tax stuff has been going through. I believe if it's not gone yet, it will be going to conference committee. The two separate bills, Senate Bill 1 and House Bill 1001, have been overhauled as they've switched houses. They've been overhauled. Looks like right now what they're looking at is maybe allowing a super abatement, up to 25-year abatement on the full amount of business personal property tax. Now, I will say this is certainly an improvement because that still gives us the ability to pick and choose what community or what business deserves a super abatement or deserves a 10-year or deserves a 5-year or whatever. So that is an improvement. However, they are still... they still have the COIT Council as an option in there, and as just as a reminder with the COIT Council, it's made up based on population. So in Whitley County, Columbia City would get somewhere around, I think, when I say 27% of the vote, and Whitley County, as the county commissioners and them, they would get over 60% of the vote. So it wouldn't really matter what we did, even if we teamed up with the other communities, we wouldn't have enough to overpower the county or vice versa. In Allen County, Fort Wayne has over 50% of the vote, so it wouldn't matter what their county or New Haven or Woodburn or any of those did, Fort Wayne could change it. So we're still fighting hard against the COIT Council idea because it's not fair. Schools have no say in the COIT Council. Libraries have no say in the COIT Council. So, and just also for your information, the joint resolution you all signed has been signed by WITCO and Whitley County Consolidated School Corporations, the county, Larwell, South Whitley, Cheribusco, and obviously you guys, and we have sent that to our four legislators that represent Whitley County. So, just FYI. That's all I got. Dan?
Nothing, no.
Ben?
Can you make a note?
Yes.
To ask Martha to get a hold of me.
Okay.
To get an ordinance committee meeting on Marcia's schedule.
Okay.
Martha's scheduling that, right?
Yes.
So have you gotten the nuisance ordinance to the point where we can review it? Or
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
I'm done with all that. I'm working on all the other things now.
Okay.
I may have something coming in front of you, actually... if I can talk to you for 2 seconds after council.
Okay.
I want to talk about food trucks for a moment because I had some people approach me. So.
Okay.
Anything else?
Second thing.
Yes.
I don't know if there's any way to monitor the deer population in town.
Okay.
But it seems like there's a lot of them. I hit one the other night.
Really?
In town.
Where at?
On Lincoln Way. Coming home. I've seen them. That first big snowfall we had, there was at least a dozen of them walking down Squawbuck.
Really?
So I don't know.
You guys can take care of it.
Right.
That's what I was going
to
say.
The deer task force that they established several years ago, just for that particular reason, and you can select the people you want to take care of. So just throwing it out there that there are.
I figured that'd be up your alley, Tom.
Tom and I were involved in that process over in Warsaw.
We had seven up behind my house.
Really?
They're between Angie Cotter's house and Marcia's mom's house. They go back.
I've seen them in Marcia's mom's yard many times.
Yeah.
Huh.
They're in the back.
Does your mom feed them?
They're in the back where the school property.
Acorns, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. So what do you want to do about that?
I'm just bringing. I didn't know if there's any way to have someone monitor it to see if it's even an issue and needs addressed. It just seems like there's a lot of them.
Okay. Tom, do you want to investigate that and let me know?
Can I get Kelly on that committee as well?
Well, yeah. Do you want to make a committee out of it, or do you guys just want to collaborate and get that done?
Why don't we collaborate and see where we're at?
I'm in favor of that idea.
Well, we have a few. Can we get a van?
I don't think that's in the budget, but...
Rosie, we need to get that in.
You need a stand, too?
We did have a complaint. We did have a complaint while we were at retreat about somebody in Columbia Shores that was feeding them.
Oh.
And they were... Was that you, Danny?
No, it wasn't me, trust me.
The DNR may be able to assist in some type of count.
Sally wanted to know if we had an ordinance against them, which we don't.
And since we have their headquarters.
I know we have an ordinance against feeding wild cats.
Well, they're a lot different.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I know.
No, I mean,
count them first.
I mean, I like the deer. I like the wild.
Yeah, gotcha.
And it doesn't matter. They'll come up and eat my bird feed.
Well, yeah. Say they come by and get brownies, bird feed.
I mean, at least then we have an idea of what the population is and what the healthy population would be given our area.
I don't know. After the last police episode of the Star Bank.
No, we are not good people to monitor or to take care of the deer problem. We've proven that.
Or we could just send Ben out with his truck a little bit more.
Well, I did more damage to the deer than I could to the truck.
Oh,
I just dented
yeah?
it so I can't open my driver's door right
now. I gotcha. Okay. Anything else? Sounds like we have a task force already on
it. I think Dan's right. Historically, the police department is not the appropriate deer.
After the Star Bank.
After the Star Bank. Oh, that's too funny. For those of you that want to hear the rest of the story, stick around after we turn off the microphone. Okay, Nicole and Bill. Anybody from the audience? Hearing none, we'll call the meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody. I don't know, but every time I hear the story, it gets bigger and broader. So I don't know. I mean, if it's an issue with the actual healthy population, if we're overpopulated, and I think sometimes the DNR can get some leeway to call. Like that thing.
Are you
is it call or call?
To get rid of it, yes.
Okay. Indeed. So,
I
don't know what else to do. See, I've not seen any, which is new, because, you know, granted, I'm here or there, so. Really?